This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild. Welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, I'm delighted to have in the studio with me one of the leading journalists in Colombia, Holman Morris. This year, he won the Nuremberg International Human Rights Award. 4 years ago, he won a Defender of Human Rights Award from Human Rights Watch. For the last year, he's been a Nieman Fellow at Harvard. He's one of the most courageous journalists in Colombia and has done tremendous work on human rights issues, on the armed conflict there, on the problem of impunity. Holman Morris, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to stay in the studios, the Progressive.
Well, you're too kind. It's great to meet you. I wrote about you last year when it looked like you weren't going to be able to come to the United States because the State Department wasn't granting you your visa, and so it's nice to see you here. What was that all about?
Yeah.
¿De qué se trata? ¿Qué te negaron la visa?
Ok. Lo primero, el primer punto para mí es agradecer la solidaridad.
The first point for me is that I wish to express my thanks for the solidarity.
A los amigos de The Progressive.
To the friends of from The Progressive.
A los amigos de Colombia Support Network.
My friends of Colombia Support Network.
Y a todos... en Norteamérica y en otras partes del mundo que se movilizaron en apoyo para que yo pueda llegar y estudiar a la Universidad de Harvard.
And all those who, in the United States and outside the United States who mobilized their efforts so that I would be able to come and study at Harvard.
Ahora bien, él me está preguntando por la negación de la visa, ¿sí?
Mm-hmm. The question is, sí. Why was my visa denied? Is that right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yo contesto siempre los hechos concretos.
I always answer referring to the actual facts.
Primer hecho.
First one.
El presidente Álvaro Uribe públicamente me acusó de ser un aliado del terrorismo.
President Álvaro Uribe accused me personally to be an ally of the guerrilla.
Segundo hecho.
Second fact.
Los servicios secretos, la policía secreta al servicio de del presidente Uribe.
The secret service at the service of the president Uribe.
Durante 8 años.
During 8 years.
Lanzó una campaña de desprestigio en mi contra.
Issued and promoted a campaign of denying prestige to me, harming my name as for eight years.
Yeah, que involucraba amenazas, la desestabilización psicológica de mi familia.
That involved threats, destabilization of my family and their feelings.
Psicologically. Mm-hmm. Y también el involucrarme con la guerrilla de las FARC. Una campaña para involucrarme con la guerrilla de las FARC. Esos son los dos hechos concretos.
And also a campaign to try to involve me with the FARC guerrillas. Those are the facts.
Now, when the president Uribe, who left office last year, accused you of being an ally of the guerrillas, that is very dangerous for you, isn't it?
Cuando el presidente le decía que era aliado de la guerrilla, eso fue peligroso para usted, ¿no?
Sure.
¿No es cierto?
Sure. En Colombia, todos sabemos que una amenaza de estas, que estos señalamientos se convierten en amenazas de muerte.
We know in Colombia that these signals that are given, such as those by President Uribe, constitute a threat to one's life.
And you, at one point 10 years ago, I'm speaking with Holman Morris, who is a great journalist from Colombia. I'm getting assistance from Jack Lown in translation from the Colombia Support Network. 10 years before, you had to leave the country because of death threats. Is that correct? You went into exile in Spain?
About 10 years ago, you needed to go to Spain in exile because of threats made against you. Isn't that right?
Mis últimos 10 años. Han sido 10 años de persecución, amenazas y salidas al exterior.
The last 10 years have been years of persecution, threats, and having to leave because of those threats.
Ese es el lado triste de la historia.
That's the sad part of the story.
Pero también hay un lado bueno de esta historia.
There is also a good side to this story.
What's that? Okay, es una vida de compromiso, de satisfacciones, de un periodismo para y por la gente.
A life of commitment, of satisfaction, being committed to the people themselves.
Y quizás lo más importante, el haber conservado mi independencia a pesar de toda la persecución, a pesar de todas las amenazas.
And perhaps the most important thing is having been able to preserve my independence, even given these threats that have been made against me.
Well, how do you do your work then? How do you do independent journalism for the people when faced with such threats?
¿Cómo se mantiene la independencia como periodista cuando está mirando semejantes amenazas?
Okay, en el caso colombiano es muy fácil.
In the Colombian case it's very simple.
Porque afortunadamente tenemos miles de ejemplos de campesinos, defensores de derechos humanos, que todos los días arriesgan su vida y siguen ahí.
Fortunately, in Colombia, we have thousands of indigenous and human rights defenders who risk their lives every day.
Arriesgan la vida todos los días.
They're risking their lives every day.
But many of them have been killed.
Por una Colombia más incluyente.
And they're doing it to have a more inclusive Colombia.
Y yo digo, yo no puedo ser menos a ese ejemplo.
And I'd say I can't really do less than that example.
Exactly. Los matan. Algunos los matan.
It's true that some of those people have been killed.
Pero también digo, si no hubiera sabido los riesgos de hacer periodismo en Colombia, pues seguramente hubiera sido arquitecto, odontólogo.
I'd say that if I hadn't understood the risks that there are in Colombia for a journalist, I might have been an odontologist or a doctor.
Architect.
Mm-hmm.
Lo más fácil, Ted, lo más fácil es abandonar el camino.
The easiest thing would be just to abandon this route that I'm taking.
Mm-hmm. Alguien siempre tiene que hacer la tarea.
Somebody always has to do this job.
Mm-hmm. And your boss is in journalism, in newspapers or on TV or radio. They were okay with your courageous work?
Sus jefes en el periodismo, en la televisión, radio, estaban de acuerdo con tu decisión de meterte en eso.
Ted, afortunadamente hace 10 años no tengo jefes.
Fortunately, for the last 10 years, I have not had bosses.
That's nice.
Yo soy el director de mi propio programa de televisión.
I am the director of my own program on television.
Okay, la pregunta es, ¿cómo lo hace?
The question then is, how do I do that?
Right. La respuesta es, en la mañana buscamos fondos, fundraising, fondos para patrocinar nuestro programa.
In the answer is in the morning, we look for funds to support our program.
En la tarde, nos defendemos de las amenazas.
In the afternoon, we defend ourselves against the threats.
Y en la noche, hacemos periodismo.
And at night, we do our journalism.
And when you have fun.
¿Ah? ¿Cuándo se divierte?
¿Cuándo se divierte? No, me divierto cuando me acusan de terrorista.
I have fun when they accuse me of being a terrorist.
Tell me about this, the importance of the concept of impunity and no impunity.
Cuéntame, ¿cuál es la importancia de ese concepto de impunidad y no impunidad?
Because you did a film entitled Impunity, no?
Usted hizo una película, ¿no?, que dice impunidad.
La película es una voz de denuncia.
The movie is really a voice denouncing
de,
what has happened.
De los delitos, de quizás de los más graves delitos de lesa humanidad que se han cometido en las últimas décadas en Latinoamérica y en Colombia.
It denounces the actions that have been taken against the people throughout Latin America and particularly in Colombia during the last 10 years.
El gobierno de Álvaro Uribe pretendió generar un manto de un proceso de justicia y paz, pero a la fecha lo que hay es un proceso de impunidad.
The government of Álvaro Uribe tried to do what was called a process of peace and justice, but what there is at this time is impunity.
Y la película lo que hace es demostrar en qué puntos se está llevando a cabo la impunidad.
The movie demonstrates in what ways impunity is being followed.
And this was impunity for whom?
¿Eso fue impunidad para quién?
Es impunidad para los perpetradores, los victimarios que han cometido delitos de lesa humanidad.
It's impunity for those who have carried out acts of impunity for those who have carried out acts of violent crimes,
murders.
Impunidad para los empresarios que han financiado y orquestado el paramilitarismo en Colombia.
Also impunity for the businessmen who've financed this campaign against the people of Colombia.
Impunidad para las multinacionales norteamericanas que financiaron grupos terroristas en Colombia.
Impunity for those U.S. businesses that have financed campaigns against the people in Colombia.
What are some of those companies, U.S. companies?
¿Cuáles son las de esas compañías?
Hay una muy famosa y cuyo caso es público, Chiquita Brand.
There's one very famous, which is and whose case is very well known, which is Chiquita Brands.
And what did Chiquita do?
¿Qué hizo Chiquita?
Chiquita le pagó a guerrillas y paramilitares 60 centavos de dólar por cada caja de banano que salía de Colombia.
Chiquita paid paramilitaries and guerrillas 60 cents per case of bananas to
que salían, que salían de Colombia.
60 cents on each case of bananas which was sent out of Colombia.
En un barco de Chiquita entraron 2,000 fusiles para los grupos paramilitares en Colombia.
And it's another thing that happened is that on one ship for Chiquita 2,000 guns were brought in for the paramilitaries.
Con los que se asesinaron miles de campesinos humildes colombianos.
With those guns, thousands of peasants, poor peasants, in Colombia were assassinated.
Pero te voy a agregar dos cosas.
I'm going to add two things.
Los campesinos que cultivan el banano en Colombia dicen que no hay plátano, que no hay planta de plátano que no haya sido abonada con un muerto.
The peasants who work in the banana industry in Colombia say that there's not a plant in Colombia, that the banana plant, which has not been watered with the blood of peasant workers.
Y número dos, acaban de ser revelados y están en internet National Archives, los que estudian...
There's just been revealed as a part of the National Archives.
The Chiquita Papers.
The Chiquita Papers have been
y ahí están todas las pruebas de la financiación a los asesinos en Colombia.
All the proof is there of the funding of the assassins in Colombia.
Y termino diciendo... Me llama la atención que esto no haya tenido repercusiones en la prensa norteamericana.
And I wonder why this has not had repercussions in the press in this country.
I haven't read anything about it, really. I mean, it's shocking. I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Progressive Radio.
if you're listening to this program at home or in your car or at your office. My guest today is Holman Morris, one of the leading journalists in Colombia, human rights activist, winner of several human rights awards, including from Human Rights Watch. He's been given a lot of death threats, managed to escape those, and he's been at Harvard Nieman Fellow for the last year, and he's now honoring us as our guest today on Progressive Radio. The paramilitaries you've mentioned, these paramilitaries are working for the government, or they're working for the multinationals only, or they're working for the richest people in Colombia, or they're working for all three?
Los paramilitares están trabajando para el gobierno de Colombia, están trabajando para las empresas multinacionales, están trabajando para los negociantes, los hombres de negocio, los negociantes en Colombia, o están trabajando por los tres.
Lo que va contándonos la historia.
What I'm going to tell you about what has happened
es que los paramilitares fueron la punta de lanza de un gran proyecto económico en Colombia.
Is that the paramilitaries were really the entry point for a process in
un gran proyecto económico en Colombia. La punta de lanza de un gran proyecto económico en Colombia.
They were the entry point for a great, a large project, economic project in Colombia.
Entonces, sirvieron a militares.
So they served military officers.
Multinacionales norteamericanas.
Multinational businesses from the United States.
Empresarios colombianos.
And also businessmen who were Colombian.
Y tuvo relaciones cercanas a gobiernos y a las Fuerzas Armadas colombianas.
And they had close ties with both the government and with the political forces in Colombia.
Fuerzas Armadas. Y
the armed forces and the government.
Mm-hmm. And so they're working together. And when people here in the United States think about Colombia, if they're not thinking about stereotypes about drugs, they're thinking about the guerrillas.
Cuando piensa gente en Estados Unidos, no están pensando en drogas, están pensando en la guerrilla, o están pensando en la guerrilla o las drogas.
And are the paramilitaries fighting the guerrillas now, or is that fight over?
Los paramilitares ya están peleando contra la guerrilla ahora, o ha acabado esa pelea.
Oh, lo que tiene que ver el mundo también es que los paramilitares fueron o han sido quizás de los más grandes violadores de derechos humanos en el conflicto colombiano.
Los paramilitares.
The paramilitaries.
What's happened is that the paramilitaries have been probably the greatest violators of human rights in Colombia.
Hoy se mantienen vigentes.
They continue active today.
Si no se desactivan hoy, los empresarios, los industriales, los militares que financiaron y apoyaron los grupos paramilitares, la semilla va a estar viva siempre.
Even if they aren't. And even if they're deactivated today, the seed that was sowed by the businessmen and the economic elite there is going to continue.
Now, they could not function, the paramilitaries, the right-wing paramilitaries in Colombia, without the assistance of the Colombian government. And the U.S. government has been giving hundreds of millions of dollars to the Colombian government. Has that been a correct policy?
Los paramilitares no podrían seguir sus actividades sin el apoyo del gobierno de Colombia, mientras el gobierno de Estados Unidos ha dado centenares de millones de dólares al gobierno de Colombia. ¿Qué te parece?
Me parece que el Congreso norteamericano.
Seems to me that the U.S. Congress.
La sociedad norteamericana.
And the U.S. society.
Tiene pendiente por revisar a dónde han ido y qué financiaron los dineros, sus dineros, en cuando fueron destinados al ejército colombiano.
They should be looking at where these monies that were given to the Colombian government by the U.S. government, what these monies have been used for. The Congress should be looking at that question. U.S. people should be looking at that question.
Ahí nos podemos llevar muchas sorpresas.
There we may find many surprises.
Hay investigaciones en curso.
There are some investigations underway now.
donde el Plan Colombia, que financió el gobierno de los Estados Unidos,
where Plan Colombia, which was financed by the government of the United States,
pareciera que benefició el control paramilitar en diversas zonas de Colombia.
Would appear to have benefited paramilitary control in different zones of Colombia.
I mean, if that's true, it's a scandal.
Si es verdad, ese es un escándalo.
Es un escándalo. Y
it is a scandal.
Creo que hay que revisar lo que fue la operación del Plan Colombia en el departamento del Putumayo y cómo las masacres paramilitares crecieron en ese departamento mientras operaba el Plan Colombia.
I think what really is needed is to look at how the Plan Colombia worked in the Putumayo Department in Colombia and how the paramilitary activity in that department was assisted by the kind of help that the United States was providing.
And are you working with liberal members of the U.S. Congress to investigate this?
Usted está trabajando con miembros liberales del Congreso de Estados Unidos para investigar esa cuestión?
No, hasta el momento no, pero a través de mi programa de televisión Contravía hemos denunciado las coincidencias entre número de masacres y operaciones del Plan Colombia en el departamento del Putumayo. Yo llamo la atención, simplemente sería, vale la pena que se investigue.
No, we haven't been looking at that, investigating that specifically, but what we've done is to call attention to the coincidence in the operations that were taking place in Colombia, the types of programs that were being developed there through U.S. financing and the activity of the paramilitaries.
Now, the cover story that the citizens of the United States received was that the Plan Colombia, the money to Colombia, was to do two things, fight the war on drugs or to fight the guerrillas.
El pueblo de Estados Unidos ha sido informado por el gobierno de Estados Unidos de que Plan Colombia tenía dos aspectos, la lucha contra la droga y para luchar contra la guerrilla.
Exacto. Lo que pasa, por ejemplo, concretamente en el departamento del Putumayo, es que estamos encontrando que operaciones del ejército fueron operaciones coordinadas con grupos paramilitares.
Exactly. In Putumayo, we have found that the activities, operations of the armed forces were coordinated with the paramilitaries.
Operaciones para ejecutar y llevar a cabo masacres de campesinos.
And these were operations to carry out massacres of peasants.
Desprevenidamente yo digo, ¿cómo es posible que sucedan gran cantidad de masacres de grupos paramilitares en el departamento más militarizado del país a comienzos de los años de la década del 2000?
So that raises a question for me, how can these massacres be taking place in such great quantities in a department which has been massacred by the paramilitaries, in a department which has been fully militarized from the year 2000 on?
Yeah, that's a scandal that Congress or the U.S. press should investigate.
Es un escándalo que la prensa en Estados Unidos y el Congreso deben investigar, por cierto.
We only have about 5 minutes left. I wanted to get to something that you wanted to speak about, which was the work of the Colombian Secret Service in harassing American citizens or spying on U.S. citizens in Colombia. What's that about?
Yo quería preguntarle algo que yo sé que le interesa, que es cómo la oficina colombiana de servicio secreto ha espiado en la actividad de ciudadanos de Estados Unidos en Colombia.
La Fiscalía General de Colombia ha encontrado pruebas de que los servicios secretos colombianos han seguido de manera ilegal a ciudadanos norteamericanos defensores de derechos humanos.
The Office of the Attorney General in Colombia has found that the Secret Service in Colombia has followed the activities of human rights defenders from the United States in a form that it is illegal for them to do this following.
So this would be people working with Human Rights Watch or Amnesty International or other people?
Would these be people? Esto sería gente trabajando con Human Rights Watch o con Amnistía Internacional, o es otro organización también.
En los documentos aparecen nombres de miembros de Human Rights Watch.
In the documents there appear names of people who are from Human Rights Watch.
Aparecen teléfonos de miembros de Amnistía Internacional.
There are telephones that are shown, telephone numbers shown in those documents that are for Amnesty International people.
Aparecen nombres de organizaciones como WOLA y Latin American Group.
There appear also numbers for and information about organizations of human rights such as the Washington Office on Latin America, the Latin American Working Group.
E inclusive los correos intercambiados entre una persona y un miembro y un staffer de un senador norteamericano.
There are even records of exchanges of messages between staffers for the Congress and the government.
Has there been Holman Morris, has there been protests by these groups to the government of Colombia or through the U.S. Embassy?
Estas organizaciones han activado alguna protesta contra el gobierno de Colombia.
Hay un documento que produjo WOLA sobre las interceptaciones cómo se llevaron a cabo y qué afectó las interceptaciones ilegales a ciudadanos colombianos.
There is a document which the Washington Office of Latin America has produced which talks about what these intercepted messages were and what they meant with respect to the people who were involved in human rights in Colombia.
Después de ese documento, aparecieron pruebas contundentes de los seguimientos a ciudadanos norteamericanos.
After that document was released, there appeared absolutely overwhelming evidence of the following of U.S. persons involved in human rights through these over these wiretaps, illegal wiretaps.
We have only a minute left. Are you going back to Colombia soon?
¿Usted se va a volver pronto a Colombia?
Las condiciones, los hechos, dicen que por ahora no puedo regresar a Colombia. Las amenazas continúan. Las campañas de desprestigio continúan.
The events, both continuing threats against me and activities that press against me, suggest to me that I should not return at this time to Colombia.
That's too bad. Does that make you sad?
Eso le hace sentir triste.
Por ahora creo que mi tiempo en este momento está en los Estados Unidos y el de mi familia también. Creo que es un tiempo para estudiar.
I think that my time now is going to be in the United States for myself, my family, a time for me to study.
Pero sin lugar a dudas, mi trabajo y mi compromiso está en Colombia.
But without doubt, my work and my commitment is in Colombia.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you, Holman Morris. Great, courageous journalist from Colombia for being my guest today, and Jack Lown for translating from the Colombia Support Network.
Thank you so much, my friends there, the Progress, and my translate, Jan Lown.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.